Hey everyone, welcome back. This is Dental Unfiltered. I'm Matt Brown. I'm here with Dr. Andrew Ballo, my co-host. Today's episode is a really important one. Conversation I have all the time, how to lower overhead and increase profits. It's really common for me to meet with a doc and for them to say, I'm doing X amount, but my overhead is X amount, and I'm barely breaking even. What's going on? And it's just a mess of different things that are contributing to it. Sometimes we create our own leaky holes in the boat to help it sink with some poor decision-making and some inefficient spending and just not really approaching things with the right mindset. I think a lot of times practices come to me and they think the solution is I can grow revenue by more marketing, which normally it is, but also are you really operating efficiently enough to take advantage of all that marketing? Are you going to end up breaking even on your marketing because your practice is inefficient? So we're going to talk today about lowering your overhead to increase your profits. And this is something I know Andrew spends a lot of time on. With having four practices, there's no way he can't spend a lot of time on it, because if not, he wouldn't have four awesome practices. So Andrew, where would you like to start with decreasing overhead and increasing profits?
Yeah, this is great. As you guys heard, if you listened to our listener episode, there was a doc talking about having a $6.5 million practice with no profit. That's why this is such an important discussion, guys. I guess I want to start by just defining what overhead is, because some of you listeners may not have a full understanding of that. Overhead is all of the expenses in your practice except doctor pay. If you have a solo practice, so you own the practice, you're the only doctor, you should be paying yourself about 30% of your production. That's average. That's if you were to sell your practice to DSO, that's what they would calculate. Even if you're paying yourself less, they're going to calculate as that's part of the EBITDA calculation. So again, overhead doesn't include your pay. So anything you're paying yourself, take that out of overhead. All of your other expenses in the practice are overhead. National average for dental practices for overhead is between 68 and 72%. And I'll be honest, I believe that statistic was from maybe 5 years ago. And in the recent years, with increasing supply costs, increasing wages for team members, I'm going to guess if they did an updated survey for this year, it's going to be even a little higher than that. So if you guys think about it this way, if your practice's overhead is at the national average, let's say it's at 72%, and your doctor pay should be standard, 30% of production, your actual profit is negative. You're at 102%, you know, total cost when you add in the doctor pay. So this is why this is so important. A lot of docs out there think, you know, they've got a great business, but in all actuality, they just have a job that pays well. And if your overhead is over 70%, you would likely be better suited being an associate at another practice, because your take home might actually be more at that point in time with a lot less stress. So that's not to say, guys, if you've got overhead of 75, 80% or even higher, I'm not telling you should go sell your practice and be an associate, but I'm telling you, you want to focus on bringing that overhead number down so that you can actually enjoy a profitable business and, you know, not just a well-paying job. So what are some of the areas of overhead that can cause it to creep up, you know, above where we want it? You know, again, we had talked about averages near 70%. The mastermind group I'm part of, Dental Success Institute, you know, we're targeting overhead percentage at or below 50%. You know, that's kind of the goal that we shoot for. I can tell you it's very doable. I can tell you, I know of doctors who have their overheads in the 30%. So, you know, how can you still provide quality dentistry while keeping the overhead low? The answer lies in cutting out the fluff, cutting out things that aren't turning ROI, and paying less money for the same things that you're buying. So I think those are some of the major strategies, you know, that we're going to talk about. Let's start with paying less for the same things that you're already buying, guys. I think most dentists out there, for the majority, you know, for years and years, how it was done is you had a rep at one of the major suppliers, Henry Schein, Benko, Patterson. That rep would come to your practice. You know, they'd look at your stuff. They'd talk about things. You'd give them an order for all the stuff you needed, and they'd tell you how much it cost, and you pay it. And that's just how it works. And that's unfortunately why most dentists are overpaying for things like supplies and small equipment. Now, these reps, they're often very friendly. You've gotten to know them over years. They probably bring donuts to your office. They may even throw you, hey, we're giving you a free curing light, or we're giving you some free composite. So you think, you know, they're your friend. They're giving you a great deal. I'm not saying that these are bad people. I know some very, very great, you know, equipment reps and supply reps. But I will tell you that you're probably spending way too much money on your supplies and small equipment if that's how you're ordering them. In today's day and age, there's a number of things you can do to reduce the cost of what you're buying and still get the same materials, the same quality supplies. One of those things is it's a website called Dentira. It basically is like an Amazon for dental suppliers. You create an account, you link all of your supplier accounts. So for instance, like, I don't just buy everything through Benco. I have a Benco account, I have a Henry Schein account, I have a Darby account, you know, I have alternate dent supply accounts. You have all these different accounts. So you link all these accounts to Dentira. When you search for a product, it brings up that product and it has all of your linked suppliers who are offering the product and the price that they're offering it for. So you may buy one product and it might be cheapest with Benco, and the next product you buy might be cheapest with Darby. I will tell you, you know, shout out to Darby. They tend to be the most affordable for a lot of things. So we do a lot of our business through Darby. Now, there's a whole nother layer to this as far as saving money on your supplies, and that comes in with dental buying groups. So in addition to linking all your suppliers and finding who has the best pricing for these supplies, you can, for a small monthly fee, join a buying group like Dental Success Network, which also is linked with Synergy, and they negotiate better pricing on all of these supplies. So, you know, especially and that's probably part of the reason why Darby is so great, is I think they've negotiated some great deals with Darby. So if I were just to create a Dentira, I was not part of a buying group, and I made my account and I search for, you know, product X, it may be $45, and that's the cheapest offer, and it's through Benco. All of a sudden I join a buying group, I search for product X, and it comes up yet again, and now the cheapest supplier is Darby, and it's only $28. And this is just an example, guys, but I mean, this is true for almost anything that you're going to order. You can get discounted pricing, kind of take advantage, just like the DSOs do with their discounted pricing, by joining a buying group and saving thousands of dollars every month on supplies. That's huge. I mean, that alone is going to probably cut your overhead by a few percentage points just by signing up for a website and signing up for a buying group. That is like the lowest hanging fruit out there that you can do. Now, in addition to Dentira and these buying groups, there's also another website called Net32. Some of you are already familiar with it. Some of you may not be. Once again, it's a kind of like Amazon thing. You type in a product. They've got third-party sellers. So instead of it coming from Schein, Benco, it comes from a third-party seller. You know, there may be certain supplies that you want to get from a main vendor like Composite and Bond. But things like disposables, guys, things like cotton rolls, gauze, you know, things like that, there's no reason that you have to buy that from Henry Schein or Benco. And I'll tell you what, even with the buying group, they're often still adding in a dental tax. So there's times with my buying groups on Dentira, I search for a product and maybe it's $20, and I get on Net32 and all of a sudden it's $8. So what we do is we've got a system, we've got both websites, we've got all of our vendors linked, we've got our buying groups, and I've created a master spreadsheet that gets updated every year or two as we do another deep dive into each product to find where we can get that product for the best pricing. And as my team members do the ordering, because I don't do the ordering, I did the initial setup to make sure that we found the best pricing on everything. But as my assistants do the ordering, they reference our spreadsheet so they know where to order each item from to get the best possible price. So guys, I'm telling you, if you implement this in your practice, if right now you're using Benco or Henry Schein or Patterson or whatever, and they're just doing all of your supplies for you, and you switch gears and you implement those things, you join a buying group like DSN, you sign up for Dentira and link all your suppliers there, and you double check things on Net32, I guarantee you guys, you're going to shave multiple percentage points off your overhead just like that. Your overhead might go down as much as maybe even like 5% by doing these things. So I think that is my number one, you know, tip to you guys on lowering overhead. I don't know, Matt, if you have any thoughts on that or if you want to get into next strategies here.
Yeah. So I do. So I mean, looking at line items like that is really important to find it, right? To figure out what we're doing, where are we spending money we shouldn't be, where are we spending the extra $6 repeatedly. That adds up to $600, right? I think the other place too is your staff. You know, I find that practices are grossly overstaffed, like really grossly. I think what it really comes down to is you develop a culture in the practice of, you know, these are things we do every day to do $100,000 in collections. And as we grow, we keep that same strategy. We don't adapt the strategy, right? So one place I always recommend is like, do you really need all the staff that you have? And there's extremes to this, right? I have a practice in SLC I talk about all the time, and they have like two working ops, and they're not like an arch practice, and they do $350,000 a month, and it's amazing. And I've been front row for this practice now for like 4 years, and like it is the epitome of efficient. Like, listen, your biggest cost is labor. And that's where you need to be the most efficient.
I thought it was taxes.
Well, okay, after labor is probably bigger than taxes.
Shouldn't be. Well, yeah, maybe it's close. I guess depending on how your taxes are
done. How inefficient is the practice?
Yeah, that's true.
Right? So it's like I have a doc that does about 270 a month. He does it 4 clinical days a week. It's 3 assistants, 2 hygienists, 2 front desk people at him. They do 270. I have practices doing 100, 4 clinical days a week with 1 doc, 3 assistants, 2 hygienists, and 2 front desk people. That can be done with 1 front desk person,
right?
1 hygienist, and 1 to 2 assistants, right? And the question really becomes efficiency of labor, in my opinion. That's a big black hole.
So I agree with you here. However, I do want to kind of add some caution into this suggestion, because I also know dentists that are more scarcity minded and they're fearful to add team members they need because they don't want their overhead cost to increase. So guys, there's kind of a fine line to work here, because you don't want to bottleneck your practice. Like, you know, I've always touted the abundance mindset. I have hired employees before I truly need them because I want my practice to grow. I hire for the practice I want tomorrow, not the practice I have today. So there is a flip side to this as well. However, all of that said, I do agree with Matt in a sense that there are probably practices that are staffed the same way that my practice is, or very similarly, that are doing a third of the production. And if that's the case, I mean, unfortunately, your employee costs are going to be way too high as a percentage. So, you know, kind of rule of thumb, you know, typically they say you want to try to keep employee costs under 25% of your total overhead. I mean, that's a big chunk of the pie, guys. That's a fourth of all the production coming in. And there's a lot of practices that are over 30%. I've seen practices over 35%. So all of a sudden, it becomes very understandable why the national average is in the 70% for overhead if your team compensation percentage is 35%. So, you know, my answer here is not to cut your team pay, guys. You know, our team members work really hard for us. We actually pay very competitively for our area. We bonus well. I want our teams to be compensated well. I want them to succeed in life. The answer is, I guess, one, and honestly, this is probably the number one way to decrease overhead and increase profitability, is to increase revenue, guys. I mean, that is the number one easiest way to make that happen is to, I mean, if you're doing $100,000 a month and you don't add any more team members, you don't change anything else, all you do is you go from 100 to 150 a month, all of a sudden, guess what? Your overhead is going to dive. Your profitability is going to skyrocket. So I think the first key is figuring out how to maximize the space and the team that you have there now. And then once you start to get close to that maximum point, that's where you want to expand availability, whether it's equipping more ops, adding more hours, adding more assistants, adding more hygienists, adding an associate. And again, you know, I don't think everyone should necessarily follow my point, because I have a very abundance mindset in the fact that I'm so growth oriented that I know if I add that next team member that I can grow into that their role very quickly. But I mean, guys, like, I'll add a hygienist before we really have any patients for them. And I just know, all right, you know what? I'm going to add this hygienist and I'm going to add to our marketing budget and I'm going to bring in 250 new patients a month. And all of a sudden, we're going to have all these patients that this person needs to see. That doesn't work for everybody, guys. So I'm not sitting here saying that you need to adapt that mindset. But I do think you should look at where your practice is right now. Look at what you're producing and what your production potential could or should be. And try to maximize that first, because that is going to increase profitability. And then once you kind of reach that maximum capacity, that's when you want to add more team members or add more space or add more hours, which is going to temporarily increase overhead and decrease profitability. So it should be a temporary thing. You know, there's kind of this like growth and, you know, that can kind of decline as you add expense there. Does that make sense, Matt?
Well, it makes perfect sense. So there's really two sides to the mark. It's a sandwich, right? And the bottom of the sandwich is overhead. The top of the sandwich is growth, right? And there's a thing in between that's the margin, right? And you can lower this only so far. So you have to find a way to grow this, right? So it's a matter of how do we lower overhead and be more efficient to have the ability to grow this and have the resources to do it, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, one place, we talked that whole episode about this, right? I just met with a doc in Clearwater, Florida, like 2 days ago. And we did a consult review where we go through every single consult we gave them and I ask him questions, right? And then I asked him to pull up his portals for financing and see how many credit apps we did. One thing I tell you, one place that's really easy to grow your margin instantly is try to double or triple the amount of credit apps you do a month in the practice. Because if you do more credit apps, larger treatment gets accepted. If I had a family member that owned a practice and like, hey man, I want to grow by $20,000 a month, I'd be like, how many credit apps did you do? Well, we do about 5 a month. Let's try to make that 20 and you'll find the 20,000. And they're like, really? Like, this is what happens. The staff never approaches financing. They don't.
Yes.
One of the problems is with care credit, it's like 90% get declined, right? So there's a negative feeling there. They don't want to encounter that. Second is they don't know if you have multiple credit apps, they don't know what credit app is the right one. I find that Cherry has the biggest approval range. If you have to do just one credit app and increase the frequency of other credit app, increase the frequency of Cherry or SunBit credit apps. And what you'll find is your revenue will show up. Because if you think about it, right, patients accept more when they're paying monthly. They just do. Right now, you get paid a fee, you get charged a fee for that, but they tend to get more work done. Now, if we refocus that, our job is to do what's best for the dental patient all the time. What's best for the patient is to get as much dental work done as soon as possible to get ahead of the dental problem. Well, financing allows that. And I don't know how you feel about this. You can tell me you disagree with it. A lot of times the way phasing treatment gets approached also isn't smart and efficient. They say something like, hey, we're going to do step one. When that's done, we'll schedule step two. If you are going to phase treatment, schedule all of it and have a start and finish line. So the patient knows the timeline of completing their dental care. And if they accept it all, so they have to accept it all, right? They accept it all, schedule it all. And you can always adjust that schedule, right? A lot of times practices come in and go, hey, we're going to do SRP first, then we'll do those crowns. And then what you're reliant on is when the staff comes back and they've done the SRP the next visit, you're reliant on them remembering to schedule the crowns. But they're not going to. So when they accept everything day one, schedule everything day one, have them take ownership of the full path to treatment, and try to offer more credit apps. If you do those two things, you will see a $10,000 to $30,000 increase in your collections if you're not already doing them.
So I'm going to try to really quickly unpack some of the stuff you just talked about, Max. I think there's a few important points there. First one, financing, good. Yes. We want to finance. Absolutely. We want to offer it to everybody. You know, yes, I think average practice probably is only doing a few of these applications a month. Man, I want to see multiple. I want to see 5+ applications every single day. Every single day. I mean, we should be, your team should be offering the financing option to everybody and encouraging them to apply if they're not ready to pay cash. If the cash option doesn't work for them, they should be encouraging them to apply for the financing option. Yes, Cherry's been great for our practices. Shout out to our rep there, Anna. If you're not already using Cherry, I'd check them out. But, you know, again, as we've talked about in our, we have had a whole episode on it, guys. So if you want to know more about our thoughts on financing and how you can increase your production, your practice by offering better financing options and more efficiently offering financing, check out that episode on lowering barriers with financing tools. Second thing that we're talking about there, Matt, it's a little bit of a tricky subject. Yes, I agree with, we want to get all the production scheduled and not just, hey, let's just start with this one single filling. However, I do have a little bit of a caveat there. I do think it can be overwhelming for patients when we present a ton of treatment at one time, a big number at one time, and it can make it a lot more challenging to get treatment acceptance. I think sometimes patients in their mind think I have to do all or nothing. They're like, man, I can't do all of this, so I can't do any of it, which is absolutely not the fact. So I think it's very important how you approach the situation. I personally, as a doctor, I have this conversation with patients. I tell just about every single patient during my treatment presentation, hey guys, or hey Joe, I know there's a lot going on here. Please know we can work at your pace. I have some patients that like less visits. It's tougher for them to come in. They'd rather just come one or two times and get everything done. If you'd like to do that, I would be happy to do that for you. Whereas I have other patients who don't want those bigger appointments. They'd rather do a little bit less at each appointment, and that's totally fine. If you prefer that, I normally recommend we work in areas so you only have to get numb in that area one time. So if you'd prefer that option, we'll start with the, you know, the upper right side. That is my most pressing priority. That one tooth is ready to blow up on you. I don't want it to turn into needing a root canal. So the next time I see you, if you want to do more, great, but let's at least start with that upper right. And then I kind of shut up and I see what the patient says. And guys, the patient's probably going to tell you what they want to do after that conversation. And I will say the majority of the time patients are like, yeah, like the upper, let's start with the upper right, or they have a question about that tooth or whatever it is. But there are those patients that are like, man, I want to get everything done I possibly can. So then our treatment presentation changes. So, you know, we let our treatment coordinator know, hey, Joe wants to do everything. Dr. Vallow can do it all at one appointment. It's going to take 3.5 hours. You know, let's get him scheduled. Or Dr. Vallow's main priority is the upper right. We're going to start with that quadrant. He said it's going to take an hour, you know, or whatever it is. So I think it's important that we let our patients know that they have options of doing everything or just starting with a little bit and letting them just choose. You're going to get much higher treatment acceptance. Now, you made a point about if scheduling all the treatment at the beginning, even if it's not all at one visit. My concern there is we take treatment deposits for each visit. So now you're asking that patient to make multiple treatment deposits off the bat before they even come in for their first visit. What we do instead is we schedule whatever was discussed starting with, and on our routing sheets that our team has to fill out every time they walk any patient up to the front, one of the questions is, do they have their next restorative appointment scheduled? So the team is supposed to check, does this patient have more restorative left? Have we already scheduled their next appointment? And if not, they're supposed to schedule it that day. So that's how we avoid missing scheduling that next treatment after they get the first part done.
So going back to the Andrew Vallow effect that we talk about sometimes, you're like the Michael Jordan of this stuff, and you're right. In your scenario, this doesn't make sense. But I have to look at average practices that are underperforming every day, and like they can't schedule, like patients leave without scheduling the next hygiene appointment. So we have to create a strict process of you schedule. And most of the time, these practices, I wholeheartedly believe in what you just said about doing deposits for chair time. My wife has to make a deposit for her freaking hairstylist.
Yeah.
So a dentist deserves a deposit. I can't get front desk people to take deposits for chair time in those practices.
Yeah.
So part of it is like the condition of the practice, right? Like you're right. You have amazing systems and processes that kind of create less of these failures. Most of the time, there's no systems and processes. It's random, and there's a high percentage of failures. Yep. We have to find simple ways to fix these failures to increase the revenue. Offer financing every time, do a credit app in the practice, and when they accept and all that money is available, schedule the whole thing.
Yep.
These are practices that are scared to ask for a deposit.
Yeah.
Right? So it is apply what tool to what is the ability of the individuals operating the tool.
Well, and that's the power of financing, Matt. You know, to your point, someone gets approved for 15 grand. their treatment was, you know, 10 grand. Great. Let's get it all scheduled. Even if they don't want to do it all at one visit at that point, now we can schedule all their treatment visits because we already have all the money. We're going to finance the full amount up front. So that is, again, the power of financing versus, you know, not offering financing. We got a little bit off track here, guys. So I want to kind of get things back on track with overhead profitability. I want to go back to team costs. And so, you know, we had a little discussion about that. What I want to tell you guys is make sure you're also utilizing your team to their fullest extent. I'm huge on delegating. A lot of dentists aren't. A lot of dentists think they're the only one who can do something. I'm the only one who can make a temporary crown. You know, I'm the only one who can, you know, see this patient for this post-op or whatever it is. My team does everything they're legally allowed to do. I fully trust my team. I've got assistants that are better at making crowns and temporary veneers, temporary crowns than I am. You know, Florida now allows assistants to place restorations, kind of like just like Ohio does and some other states do. I am actively searching for EFTA in Florida who's qualified for restorative function so that she can come in and we can delegate, you know, placing of composite restorations. You have to believe in you have to train them. You've got to do quality control. You've got to make sure that things are happening well. But, you know, again, our employees are our biggest overhead cost in our practice. So let's make sure we're utilizing them to their fullest extent. And then maybe you won't have to be as overstaffed to make your practice run if you're actually utilizing each employee to their fullest extent there. So that's I guess a tip on that, guys. Another tip when it comes to your employee costs is outsourcing. So, you know, my practice with the volume of patients we're doing, the volume of dentistry we're doing, the production revenue numbers that we're doing, if we didn't outsource anything, I would not be able to fit enough team members in my building to make my practice run. You know, we're a $3 million practice, my flagship office. I would not be able to fit enough team. We're heavy PPO. We're not doing full arch implants, you know, with a lot of bread and butter dentistry with some Invisalign and things like that. But in order to make things work, we outsource insurance verification. I spend a lot less money on outsourcing insurance verification than I would spend on another team member in my office to do the insurance outsourcing and the insurance verification. And honestly, with the number of patients we're seeing, I don't know if one team member could do all the verification in my office. I might need more than one team member focused on that, as crazy as that sounds. We outsource, you know, our call center, as we talked about Golden Goose, so that, you know, even with outsourcing the call center, there's still a good number of phone calls to come in our practice. But again, if you're a big practice with high volume, I mean, the phone's going to be ringing nonstop. You're taking up so much of your team's time that, again, you almost need a dedicated person in the office just to answer the phone all the time. And they're not going to get anything else done. So by, you know, again, spend less every month on having this call center to answer all of our new patient calls and some of our existing patient calls versus hiring a whole nother team member to answer all these calls in the office. And even if I did that, that team member is only there during working hours. So the phone's not getting answered, you know, during evenings or on Saturdays or on Mondays when we're closed. So guys, if you're not already leveraging outsourcing, I would look into it. We also have a virtual assistant that we utilize. She does our schedule optimization. So she's going through every single day, checking to make sure that we have patient insurance information that we need for the upcoming days, checking to make sure the correct codes are attached to their appointments, checking to make sure, you know, they're scheduled in the right column, right provider, all that stuff. So there's a lot of things. And again, if I would hire someone in my office to do that, I would spend a lot more money than I do on outsourcing. So we're able to help keep our employee costs within a reasonable threshold, despite paying well and bonusing, because we leverage outsourcing for some of these different areas.
Yeah, there's some really efficient outsourcing out there. There's a negative connotation put on like overseas help, which I really despise. You know, we just made some outsourcing here at my company, and you know, dental professionals overseas are grossly underpaid, and there's some awesome ones out there. Like a dentist in Pakistan and India makes like $11 an hour USD.
I think they actually make less than that.
Is it six? It's something crazy. And they make very low.
It's crazy low, whatever it is.
It's crazy low. Whatever it is, it's like it ends up being like a few $100 a month is their monthly salary. And they would gladly work for an American practice doing all kinds of back-end work that affects clinical, like schedule optimization, whatever you want to use them for. And I've interacted with these individuals. Let me tell you what. Listen, there's a labor problem in the U.S. right now. It's real. You can't get good, competent, effective labor that's motivated. You want good, competent, effective labor that's motivated? These people are amazing. Like, yeah. I listen, I am former military. I'm all for the red, white, and blue and American help and American everything. Let me tell you what, if American help is 25% as effective at something that is, you know, I can buy 100% effective for a third of the price overseas, American labor's got to get their act together.
Yep.
Right now, there is a labor problem in dental, and I hear this every day. It's one of the biggest problems. You know, Dr. Paul Goodman's Dental Connect Network, or Dental Job Connect, says we're trying to solve the biggest problem in dental, and it is the biggest problem in dental, is labor. Yep. Tell you what, a good source for some of these things is some of this overseas VAs that are dental specific. These people are awesome, man. I have probably four of them that work for me now, and my team loves them. They're great, and they're not client facing. I think what happens is, I think the call center experience of a lot of big tech companies gives someone's a negative connotation because of language barriers and stuff. That's not what you're buying. You're buying really well-educated, amazing people who really want to just do a different kind of work and get paid more for their knowledge. And when I say they're motivated, man, these are motivated individuals. I think outsourcing a lot of stuff
and grateful,
is super
man.
Smart. Oh, they're great. Let me say what?
Grateful to have the employment. Absolutely.
Yeah. 100%. Listen, if you want to have staff, that's like, hey, when am I getting my next raise? You just got one 3 months ago, but I can't have another one. I can't get to come in on time. This person, you meet up with them on Zoom, like, oh, so thank you so much, Mr. Matt, for working with me. You're awesome. Thank you so much. How can we get this done? What can I do for you? They're so excited.
Yep.
I'm telling you, it's an area for practice worth researching.
So we talked about employee costs. We talked about outsourcing. We talked about increasing production. And guys, there is a million different ways to increase production. So, you know, we're not going to kind of go into any more of that today, but just obviously make sure you're maximizing the production possibility you have in your current practice. The next thing is collections. You might be producing $2 million of dentistry, but you might only be collecting 1.3. I mean, so like there can be major discrepancies, and I'm talking about adjusted production. I'm talking about what production are you actually expecting to collect money on after your normal insurance write-offs, any discounts, adjustments, things like that. There's a lot of practices that don't have strong financial policies in place. If you don't either outsource your insurance verification and billing, or your person in the on your team isn't strong with that aspect, you could be missing out on a lot of payments from insurance companies. If you're not collecting deposits, if you're not collecting payment at time of service, if you're doing a lot of in-house financing without good policies in place, you may have a lot of outstanding bad AR for patients. So, you know, this is another huge factor. I mean, if your collection percentage should be in like the upper 90s. We're talking 97, 98, 99%. Obviously, you want to shoot for 100. My implant office, it's over 100 because we pre-collect for surgery, usually in full. So we're collecting more money than we're producing ahead of time. For my general practice, I think our collection rate, it's a little bit skewed because of our Invisalign. We do offer a payment plan there, but there's a way to kind of figure out around that. Our true collection percentage at my general practice is in that upper 90s, 97, 98%. And it still probably has room to even get a little bit better there. I talk to practice owners whose collection percentage is 90%, 88%, 85%. Guys, you're leaving a lot of money on the table, and that's having a major impact on your overhead.
Well, if your collection is 85% and your labor is 25%, you know, it starts to shrink real fast from both sides.
Oh, yeah.
You have to get all the money.
Every dollar counts. You've got to have everything in place that your collections are as close to 100% as possible. If you don't already have good financial policies, start putting them in place. We collect deposits for treatment appointments, get on the doctor's schedule. Then when they come in for the treatment, any remaining balance after their deposit is due before they come back to start that treatment. So we're not worried about patients running out the door after we do the treatment. We're not chasing patients down. We're not sending bills to patients later. We didn't have all these policies in place when we first opened the first practice. And our collection had some issues. You know, we had a lot of money we had to try to chase after. And there's still money we haven't collected from 2021 because of some of our bad policies we had back then. So guys, take a hard look at your financial policies. You don't want to create unnecessary barriers for patients to do treatment, but at the same time, you want to make sure that you're getting paid. That's huge.
100%. Well, guys, I think it's a good place to wrap it up. The real key is find all your efficiencies in your overhead. Try to make it as optimized as possible. Try to optimize your collections, beginning as much as you can, through tools like financing and just getting paid up front, deposits for chair time, consistent process. And in doing that, that margin will grow from both sides. And it's a matter of looking at both and making them both grow. This was Dental Unfiltered. I'm Matthew Brown. This is Dr. Andrew Ballo. Thank you for joining us today. Please subscribe. Please comment. Please share. Have a great day.